Actually, I can't. I'd be violating the Brown Act to talk about that. But I can't do that.
Did he even turn it on yet? Did he turn the system on?
I'm not gonna honor what I told him. I don't like it.
Okay, if you would take your seats, please. Good evening, and welcome to the regularly scheduled March 3rd meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees. The board met previously in closed session. Actually, we had some of the school psychologists came to address us briefly in open session prior to closed session regarding negotiations. The board then met in closed session. We conferred with our labor negotiators, and direction was given, and we conferred on a personnel matter regarding negotiations with unrepresented employees, the superintendent and assistant superintendents, and direction was given. Do we have consensus on the order of business? Okay, thank you. Would everyone please note that we have received amended minutes for the meeting of February 17th? I think these are just housekeeping corrections.
And also the 24th.
And also the meeting of the 24th. Is there any discussion on these minutes, or would someone like to move approval?
I'll make a motion to approve one at a time, the minutes of February 17th.
Second.
Okay, moved by Mr. Spadafore, seconded by Mr. Buckman. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, that second was by Mr. Millar. Okay. And then I was not present at the meeting of the 24th. Would someone like to move approval?
I will move approval of the minutes for February 24th.
Second.
So, moved by Mr. Angel and seconded by Mr. Spadafore. Those in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Opposed? Okay, and three abstentions, Mr. Buckman, Mr. Millar, and myself. If everyone would please note that we have the old-fashioned microphones now, so if you want to speak, just lay your microphone down, and I'll try to stay on top of who's got their microphone down first. We have next a presentation, the Teach Foundation grants.
Good evening, members of the board and attendees. My name is Terry Main, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the Teach Foundation. I'm very pleased to be able to announce our Spring 2009 grant recipients. As we did last grant cycle, I thought it was beneficial for the board to be able to meet the individual teachers who are our award recipients, so we're going to follow that same format tonight. We awarded 14 grants this cycle in the amount of $6,740 approximately. So I'll introduce the individual grant recipients and have them come up to the podium and tell you about their particular grant. Okay, our first recipient tonight is from Morro Bay High School, and Liz Moore is here to tell you about a ceramic tile mural that's going to be installed at the school.
Hi, I'm Liz Moore from Morro Bay High School. I want to thank you for funding our ceramic tile mural. It's going to go in the front of the school. There's 7 cinder blocks by 42 that kind of stick out when you drive up to the front of the school. So we had a contest in our photo department, came up with a beautiful panorama photo that the students did, and we're going to put that on the ceramic tiles and put it up at the school. So hopefully that'll be beautiful and everyone can come see it when they drive up. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Our next recipient is Fela Chapman, also from Morro Bay High.
Hi, I'm Sean True from Morro Bay High. I'm here representing both Terza Abuan, Scott Scaldi, and all the AVID stakeholders at Morro Bay High. Our goal with our grant is to be able to take students that haven't had access to college, whose parents haven't been to college, and maybe don't have their own vision for college, to see schools around the state. So we've already done one trip this year. It was really successful. We've got a number of students that met with colleges even while we were there. We had students commit to schools while they were there on the trip. And with our spring trip, we hope to do the same. We take freshmen through seniors, and it ends up being really positive for those kids who maybe wouldn't otherwise go. So we thank the Teach Foundation for helping us make that possible.
Now we move on to San Luis Obispo High School, and we have Lisa Burson from the Home Ec Department.
Well, I'm very excited. I have a culinary arts degree, and I'm going to be taking over the foods classes next year. And I got some 3D models of all the different kinds of cuts and some chef's knives and some knife rolls and a stone. And hopefully it turns out better than my knife from culinary school, which became a perfect triangle by the end of culinary school. So I'm much better now. But I'm very, very excited. Thank you.
Did Dave Melton or Kurt Bartlett come tonight? Okay, well, we awarded Mr. Melton and Mr. Bartlett from San Luis Obispo High School a wireless board that will work in conjunction with the whiteboard that we helped them purchase a couple years ago. And what it allows the teacher to do is to be remote from the front of the classroom. And with the wireless remote, they can actually do problems while they are walking around the classroom, or they can actually have a student from their desk actually access the whiteboard, so they are using it to improve their mathematics technology. So we've awarded them money to purchase one whiteboard. They requested two. We'll see how the first goes. Next we have Eric Benitez from Los Osos Middle School, also another AVID recipient, to take his students to a leadership conference.
Thank you. Thank you to the Teach Foundation for this award. I was able to take my kids to the leadership conference for the first time at Disneyland. So they were so happy to be there, and I wish you can see their faces when some of these kids never been to Disneyland. And I wish you can see my face when I saw their faces. But so thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, our next recipient is Nina Reinecker from Los Osos Middle School, and she's going to tell you about a choir trip.
I'm Nina Reinecker from Laguna Middle School Choir, and we received a grant. We sent in an audition tape to Disneyland, and we got approved for a performance on June 5th to perform at Disneyland, and my students are obviously very excited about performing there as well as being able to enjoy the day there at Disneyland after our performance. So thank you very much to the Teach Foundation.
Next, we have Holly Naylor, also from Laguna Middle School, and we helped Holly with some seed money for the Science Club at Laguna a few years ago, and they have continued to do activities with the students, and she's going to tell you about what she's going to do with her award.
Thank you, Teach Foundation, and last year we were able to start the Science Club. We didn't purchase our little calipers last year, unfortunately, but we realized that we need them. We went to the Morro Bay Strand Beach to do a project that's associated with the estuary in Monterey of measuring little sand crabs, you know, putting out lines, and it's an incredible experience for the kids to actually be in the field with science and calipers. So this year we're buying the calipers. We don't have to borrow the ones from the Monterey Bay Sanctuary that really don't work very well. So we're going to get good ones. We're going to practice before we go. And it's going to be a great field trip. So thank you for the bus and the calipers.
Next, we have Ava DeSanto, also from Laguna Middle School, and she's going to talk about how she is going to help history come alive for her students.
Good evening. Thank you, Teach, very much. So I'm really excited. I got money to purchase mannequins, too. I'm going to go for some more. Let's see. And I'm going to use them in my classroom because we've been collecting clothes for my eighth graders. We're studying U.S. history. So we're going to dress them up in all of the
book, which is a book that has a lot of activities, and it's a wonderful way to explain autism to peer groups, and particularly for younger students, K through 6. And with our increasing autism population, it's really important for our other students to understand what's going on, and it's a wonderful resource. So we're very excited. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Ken Hotelling from Monarch Elementary, and he's another persistent grant applicant. He tried us again for a field trip for his sixth grade class, and he'll come tell you about it.
Hi, good evening. My name is Ken O'Telling, and as mentioned, I'm a sixth grade teacher at Monarch Grove. And the Teach Foundation was gracious enough to provide the funding for a field trip in where all of my students, all the sixth grade students of Monarch Grove, will be heading to the Hearst Castle, which up there's a special tour that coincides with ancient Greek, Roman, and Egyptian artifacts that are located here in the Central Coast, which coincides very nicely with the sixth grade history standards. So we're very gracious, and thank you very much.
We're winding down here, but next we have Guy Crabb from Teach Elementary, and he wants to take a fourth grade class to the Old West Sierra Camp.
My name is Guy Crabb at Teach Elementary School, and we are going to try this wonderful trip to the Old Sierra West Camp in Santa Margarita, and I guess we are going to get a chance. I've never done this before, so I'm looking forward to this myself, get a chance to pan for some gold and dress up in period outfits and just basically have some fun and align with our fourth grade curriculum of California history. And so we're going to have a great time. I'd like to thank the Teach Foundation for once again funding myself and my students with money to do some wonderful things. And I'd also like to just plug real quickly the Teach Telethon this Saturday. And you'll see my little group at 10:45 and talking about our documentary that was accepted into the International Film Festival. So thank you very much, Teach Foundation, for all you do. We really appreciate it.
Okay, next to last, we have Margaret Caro and some of her associates. Margaret is a district nurse, and she requested a grant for some visual aids, and she's going to tell you about those.
I'm Maureen McGee, one of the four district nurses. Thank you. And this is Margaret Caro and Judith Geyer. There's a fourth, Gail Glatley. She couldn't be here tonight. We're grateful for the grant. We're going to spruce up the health rooms at all 14 campuses in the district, as well as buy health education pamphlets, booklets, things for students as well as staff. So thank you.
And our last recipient of the night is a district librarian, Sharon Hupp. We help her purchase a document camera that can be used district-wide. So she's going to tell you what a document camera is.
Good evening. A document camera is an updated 21st century version of an overhead projector and an opaque projector combined. And the document camera has the capability of taking video and pictures, and you can hook up a microscope, and you can use it in a multi-purpose room and show three-dimensional objects and books where a whole room has the capability of seeing everything projected overhead right there. And I know we, in our library program, we have an author coming to visit Baywood and Monarch Grove where this projector will have kids will have access to seeing all the books and presentation in 3D for the at this time. So thank you very much for funding this. Thank you.
And that's the end of my list. Maybe we can give a whole round of applause to all 14 recipients and all of the teachers that do so many things for our wonderful children. And I'm going to reiterate the plug that Guy gave us. The annual Teach Telethon is this Saturday. It's going to take place out here in Morro Bay. It's going to be televised on public TV. It's going to be from 10 to 6. We encourage everybody who can to call in and pledge a donation to Teach. All the money is taken directly into our endowment fund and then used for the grants. Are there any questions the board has or any comments?
Mr. Buckman.
I would just urge everybody to, when they're ready to donate, call in between 1 and 4, because that's the time I'm going to be there. And I really want to beat Chris this year.
Terry, New York, now that I think about it.
Terry, thank you. But do you know the phone number now that we can save? Do you know?
I do not know the phone numbers. Okay. The phones are typically set up on Friday when we do it, and all the phone numbers are then. And they will, you know, that would have been a really good idea. Next year, I'll coordinate that, and we'll be able to give them out.
We'll see. But thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
My
thank
pleasure.
Thank you for all that you do.
Okay. It's a pleasure. Good night.
Present correspondence. Did we receive any correspondence?
Okay. Public comment.
The next item is correspondence. I'm not aware of any.
That's public comment.
Didn't?
That's public comment.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we move on to public comment. Mr. Mollard, do we have any requests to speak?
We do indeed. And the first request is from, I'm sorry if I don't do very well with this, Berkereld? Rolf Berkfeld. Thank you.
My name is Rolf Berkfeld. I'm here with Grant. We own Alteryx Business Products, which is a photocopy company with the head office in San Luis Obispo. We recently bid on a number of machines for the school district, and I've prepared, or at least we have prepared, a summary of what we feel was the actual bid that should be looked at. Now, what we've done here, when we put the bid together, it was done on the bid form that the school district gave us, that the district gave us to put everything together on. And when I look down on the bid form, because you have all the bid forms there, if you look down, you'll see that we came in at $3,204.48. This is on the photocopy machines. And the next one here came in at $43,72.42. That's the Canon equipment handled by Moore Office Systems. And you'll also see that we came in lower on the cost per copy at $0,053. They came in at $0,055. Now, Moore came in much, much higher than the other bidders. And we've decided that we wanted to just get to the bottom of this and find out why they were given the award. I don't know if it's been actually given to them yet. But as you can see on the summary that we did on the next page, summary of the bid form, you can see on a monthly basis we are $1,167.94 ahead of the Moore bid, which over 60 months on a lease is $70,076.40. That's an incredible amount of money during these very difficult economic times. And then on the cost per copy or on the maintenance, we also came in at $3,840 lower on the bid for a total of $73,916.40. Now, when we brought this to the district office, we were told that there was a letter that came in from the Canon or the Moore people. But before I even go into that, I'd like to just point out on the bid form states, we have stated hereon the price at which we will furnish and deliver the specified items and will accept as full payment, therefore, the amount shown below. And as I pointed out, the amount shown below on the Moore was $43.22 or $72, and ours was at the $32.04. And then I was told, as I said, there was a letter that Moore had received from Canon. And on that letter, as you can see where it says Moore Office Solutions on that letter, it says Canon USA will rebate $46,410 to be used in any way the district wishes. Now, that has no connection at all with the bid form, so that should not be taken into consideration on the bid form. And I wouldn't know why Canon Direct would be offering $46,000 in a rebate to the district and to be used in any way they want. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to us. And this is why we wanted to bring this to the board to see if we could get this resolved in some way so that we would find more comfort in this whole bid process.
Thank you, Mr. Bergfeld.
Thank you.
We have a time limit, and I'm glad you had an opportunity to conclude your remarks, but the board cannot respond at public comment to
matters
that are raised because of it's not agendized matter on the Brown Act.
Okay. Well, I want to thank the board very much for letting me speak, and thank you again.
Thank you.
$10 a month. So in addition, what they neglected to talk to you about was that when people do a bid, a school district does a bid, generally they have a minimum requirement for the equipment they're going to bid. They have to have a level playing field to evaluate the pricing that they receive. The bid required 14 of a certain segment of machine and two of these and three of these, and the other company did not meet those requirements. They didn't meet the minimum requirements in speed on 30% of the equipment that they provided responses for. So even though they're going to they claim they're $180 is what the net effect actually turns out to be after applying that lease reduction price that we had in our letter, the mix of equipment didn't meet the requirements. So really the district would have been fully within its rights to just take their response and term it unresponsive and put it aside. It did not meet the requirements. And a lot of times we have one additional piece of information that should be helpful in this case, and that is that normally when you see a bottom line price and the mix of equipment doesn't match, you can never rebuild an apples for apples comparison. That's why they request the information that way, so we can have an apples to apples comparison. However, this bid required that you listed your equipment on a line item basis by segment or by speed of the machine. So we actually can recreate the same mix that our competitor responded with. And in fact, if we do that, we are $390 a month less expensive than they are. So the means of the protest usually is we think we're less expensive. In this case, they're actually not less expensive, and they didn't meet specifications. So we think it's pretty clear that if you review this information that Mr. Miller and Mrs. Bright probably are making the correct decision in awarding the contract to Moore Office Solutions. Additionally, there are a couple of best value things to consider for the district. That is, the current Canon service provider for the district is no longer an authorized manufacturer or supplier of service for Canon. Part of the requirement of the bid or an alternative proposal of the bid would you take over service on our existing equipment, which is an important thing for the district. They need to have an authorized manufacturer's representative taking care of that owned equipment, which is an asset for them. We responded yes, and in addition, we're able to offer a no charge for the remaining part of this fiscal year, which is going to save $5,000, and lower the ongoing service expense of that equipment 10%, which is going to save another $180 a month. So when you factor those in, if we had a comparable offering to our previous speakers, we actually are $500 less expensive a month, or what is it, $30,000 over the length of the contract. So we think it's pretty clear and straightforward. Thank you for your
Thank
time.
Thank you, Mr. Arneson.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the board on any topic during public comment? Yes, sir. Please come forward.
Mr. Arneson was mentioning that the machines weren't apples to apples, but before I start, my name is Grant Bergfeld with Ultrex.
Yes.
And this is a response to the copier bid. And We responded by volume. The machines that were running under 10,000 copies per month, we put in copiers that were rated at 36 copies per minute. Machines that were running over 10,000 copies per month, we put in copiers that were 50 pages per minute. And one of the things that I didn't notice was that the Canon machine, they bid a Canon 7095, and that is a very fast machine. It's rated at 95 copies per minute, but it said it's running at a volume of 37,000 copies per month. And to put a machine that's rated at 900,000 copies per month into an environment that's only running 37,000 copies per month does not make any sense that I can see. There were two other schools in the district, C.L. Smith, that was running 41,000 copies per month, and Pacheco, that was running 47,000 copies per month, and more bid 50 page per minute machines at these locations. So I don't understand why they went in with a machine that was rated at 900,000 copies per month for Los Osos Middle School, when in fact they don't need a machine at that speed. It's a waste of money in my opinion. All they need in that instance is a machine that runs 50 pages per minute. The other thing is we are saving the district an awful lot of money. Even if you took this letter that Moore had wrote with the rebate, we are saving the district over $15,000 from what we bid. So we would be saving the district at least another $15,000, even if you did take their rebate into consideration. Mr. Arneson did mention that they are an authorized Canon dealer and they can service the old.
A few things that we did in February, just brief. But in February, we had our first multicultural week, which I talked about in January. And I'd just like to say that it went really well. And our most successful day was the food day, of course. And we had the bulletin read, our daily bulletin read by foreign exchange students. So we had five different foreign exchange students read it in their foreign language, and that really caught students' attention, so that was kind of interesting too. And so we're hoping to do it next year. And also, we had many students compete at the Skills USA competition, and we had numerous gold and silver medals, and so lots of our students will be moving on to the next round. Our mock trial team went to the county semifinals, so that was really good. And our choir had their Pops concert at Laguna Middle School. And Mr. Jones played a little bit of guitar, so that was a little interesting.
No.
And both our novice and our advanced FFA Parley Pro teams advanced to regionals this year. And our winter athletic season ended really well. We had our girls' water polo, girls' soccer, girls' basketball, wrestling, and boys' basketball all make it to CIF. And in wrestling, one of our students, Paul Wong, made it to the Masters. And in boys basketball, we made it to the quarterfinals of CIF. So that was really fun. And we are now finishing up our second trimester. Our finals will start next week. And we are beginning our spring sports season as well. Our CASI testing is going to be on the 18th and 19th of this month. And on behalf of Mr. Jones, who couldn't be here today, and our school, we'd like to thank Mr. Angel for visiting San Luis High School on the 27th of February, where he got to sit in awesome classes and eat some of our famous barbecue. So, and speaking of the barbecue, we FFA held a barbecue for one of our students, Ivy Alvarado, and we raised $1,000 to go towards her medical needs. So that was a big success. And also, ASB has a date for Spring Fling, and it's going to be on the 20th of this month. And the posters went out today, so I can reveal the theme. And the theme is space, and we're calling it the Space Jam. So that's going to be really fun, too. It's going to be held in our school gym.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. Matt Irons from Morro Bay High School.
All right. At Morro Bay, we're doing a lot of the same stuff that SLO is doing. One instance of this is our spring sports are starting and our winter sports are just ending. for our winter sports. We have our winter sports banquet next Monday, and everybody is invited to that. We just ask that you RSVP. And we have our spring sports assembly, which showcases spring sports this Friday. Next Friday, we have our spring dance, Sadie Hawkins kind of thing. And our school play is coming up on the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And, of course, everybody's invited to that. On the 26th, we're having an FFA drive-through barbecue. And if any of the board members or anybody watching would like to go, just contact somebody from Morro Bay, and we'll get you some tickets. We're starting registration for the 2009-2010 school year. We're starting it on the 25th. And continuing with the program we started last year, we're bringing the 8th grade students from Los Osos Middle School to visit. Last year, we had some really positive feedback from that, so we're going to continue that program. And as Mr. True noted earlier, on the 30th and 31st, we're going to have our college trip for AVID students and other students. And it's going to be going south down to UCLA, UC Irvine, and some other schools down there. Also, we have our exit exam, the CASI test, on the 17th and 18th, and this is for sophomores to exit high school. And to go along with that, we've started a extra program to provide tutoring for sophomores who need help. And right now we have 50 students participating in that. And finally, we've got we just started a new program, which is a freshman tutorial on our late start Mondays. And it's for ninth graders who currently have one or more Fs. And so far, it's a fairly new program, just started at the semester. But we've got a lot of really positive responses from the students and parents. So that's what's going on in Morro Bay.
Thank you. Mr. Spadafore.
Yeah, Matt, I had a question. When you mentioned 50 students with the tutoring for the sophomores on CASI, is that who are asking for tutors or who are acting as tutors?
We have 50 students who are asking for tutors and being tutored.
So each of the students have somebody who's volunteering?
Yeah, I believe it's a program that teachers are volunteering to do. I think it's at the end of some classes. And it's just, if you need help in math, you go meet with a math teacher. And
that's great. That's great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Kitty. That's good.
Okay, thank you both very much for coming and sharing with us. We always love to hear what's happening at the high schools. You're welcome to stay, participate in the board meeting.
Is that better? Okay. And in the two areas is revenue limits and categorical. Since we don't get any revenue limits, we won't be getting any kind of a cut in that area, obviously. But our categorical programs, if we look at the three tiers of categorical cuts and add up the percentages translated into dollars, we're looking at about $275,000 worth of categorical program cuts for our district. And we will expect that in the year, that's in the current year of 2008-2009, we will expect to backfill those particular program cuts where necessary in order to make sure that they continue to function in the manner we wanted them to. The following year, there'll be an additional 4%+ cut in the categorical programs, and we'll have to deal with that in the budget process, so there'll be an opportunity to discuss all the ramifications of that in the near future. The only other piece that I would leave you with is that the most important part of the budget, besides the fact that they raised taxes, found some revenue, they cut expenses, primarily education, they also cobbled together some borrowing / sale of assets type funding that's going to rely upon the voters on May 19th to pass, I think, current number 6 propositions. Is there 7? There's 7 propositions now. And each one of those has an element attached to the budget. Should any one of them or all of them or some or most of them fail in some combination or another, it will have an impact upon education at the May revise, now expected to be delivered in the first week of June. So what we have to do is we have to hold our breath for a number of months more in order to be able to determine the exact nature of the damage that education might suffer should those propositions not pass.
Thank you. I don't know who was down first. Mr. Unger?
Thank you, and I just wanted to point out that probably one of the reasons we need to hold our breath for the state budget is because it smells so bad. I was able to go to the Monarch Grove Exploratorium last Saturday, and actually I think it was two Saturdays ago, and there were just lots of people there. It was great. There were people from both the school community and just the Los Osos Morro Bay community.
Excuse me.
Yes.
We were trying to see if there was any questions about Mr. Miller's report.
Oh, I'm sorry.
John, did you have a question?
I had a question for Russell. Sorry about that.
As heck.
Don't be.
Okay, don't.
Mr. Spadafore.
Don't lose that thought.
No.
Russell, is the backfill going to come from the general fund for the $275,000?
More than likely.
Okay. And Mr. Buckman, did you have a budget-related question? Okay. I'm sorry then. Mr. Unger?
Thanks, and especially Mr. Skoulas really wanted to thank Herb and Marla White, who were really involved in pulling together the Exploratorium and making it the great success that it was. And I just wanted to let everybody know that on Friday the 13th, AXA and many other organizations in California are doing something called Stand Up for Schools, and it's Wear Pink on that Friday because that's the day that most school employees, teachers especially, would be expected to get pink slips. And the AXA, which is the Administrators Association, passed a resolution of support. I'm not going to read all of it, but I do want to read two particular pieces to it. One of the whereas says, thousands of educators are expected to receive pink slips this year and layoff notices causing suffering, stress, and turmoil among educators, students, parents, and entire school communities. And whereas Stand Up for Schools events are being planned statewide for Friday, March 13th, the deadline of layoff notices. So I would just ask everybody to think about wearing pink on Friday the 13th to show support and solidarity for school funding in schools in California.
Thank you. Mr. Angel.
As Katie mentioned, I got the opportunity to visit Laguna Middle School and Slo High School on Friday, and I just came away very impressed by Mr. Miller showing me around Laguna. What I noticed in particular is the message for anti-bullying. Their anti-bullying campaign was present in every classroom and several areas around campus. And I think it showed with the students. The students that I got to hang around a little bit at break, and they were very polite. I didn't see a lot of problems with the seventh graders hanging out there. Inside the classroom, I'm, again, just very impressed by the seventh grade will, in particular, just allowing our kids to tri-tip was probably one of the best tri-tips I'd had, FFA fundraiser for Ivy. Again, the technology with Ms. Zinn, having students doing PowerPoints, replacing the old collages that, you know, I have my students bring sometimes. There was an algebra teacher by the name of Mr. Miller who was playing the guitar and just catching students' attention in Algebra 1, which was very interesting. So kudos to all the teachers and to the principals for showing me around.
Thank you. Mr. Buckman.
Thank you.
Well, I've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today, I was invited over to Bellevue Santa Fe to read in honor of Dr. Seuss. And I brought some books with me, which I had practiced reading because Dr. Seuss can be difficult. And they handed me a book they wanted me to read, so it was a book I'd never read. So I had my first reading test, and it was pajama day, so I wasn't sure the kids were awake. That was the good. The bad is that I went to Sacramento on Sunday and Monday and walked the halls and visited with some of the representatives. I spent some time with Assemblyman Sam Blakesley. My one question among the six of us that were in there was, if we hadn't found the new revenues, what were you going to cut? And there was no real answer to that. So to back up what Mr. Miller is saying, if the propositions don't pass that affect the budget, we will be back in a hole that's $5.5 billion deep. So we will be back right where we were. We're going to have to start all over again trying to figure out where we're going to cut the money. So what the legislators have done is passed the problem on to us. to try and solve rather than doing their job. And so to end with something on a positive note, I did take a walk with Mr. Angel just before the meeting in the rain, and we did go look at the kindergarten mural here at Del Mar, and if you have time in the daylight, you should go see it because it's wonderful.
Thank you. Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
Thank you. You were celebrating Dr. Seuss's birthday yesterday because you were in Sacramento on Friday, which was Dr. Seuss's actual birthday celebration. And many of us were reading, participating in Read Across America in the classrooms. I think many of our administrators were there. I had the opportunity to read to some sixth graders in Mrs. Pudlow's class. And I just wanted to recommend a Dr. Seuss book that's good for just about any occasion, whether your child is starting kindergarten or graduating from medical school. In this case, they were sixth graders, and I thought it was appropriate for them going on to seventh grade. And it's called Oh, the Places You'll Go. And you'll read something into it no matter what age you're reading at. And I also took the opportunity to read from a book that was the presenter was at the school board meeting a year ago, Mr. Saltzman, Mark Saltzman, who wrote the book about the class he taught to juvenile delinquents while he was a writing teacher. And just a little bit about the importance of nonfiction and also the importance of writing, which they're very much focusing on right now in Mrs. Pudlow's class, and the enrichment that it can bring to your life. So that was great fun, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And just also wanted to say that I'll be at the telethon, Walt, from 2:30 to 5:30, so keep bringing, yes, and I'll be listening for those singing chops of yours.
Be careful with your
escort. Okay, thank you. We're moving on to the action discussion portion of the agenda. Item 3, approval of the instructional calendar for 2009-2010.
Well, as the board is aware, we, by agreement with the Board of Education and the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association, there was a revote on the instructional calendar for the 2009-2010 school year, and the voting, the tabulation of the votes wasn't able to take place until after the agenda was published. So you should have in front of you, and we have copies for the public, the calendar that was approved. It is the identical calendar as what was approved by SLCTA before. It is a instructional calendar of 183 teacher work days, 180 student days, and probably the distinguishing characteristic from any other calendar is that there is a two-week spring break. And so it is the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the calendar submitted by SLCTA, but it is an action discussion item, and the board has the opportunity to weigh in.
Mr. Buckman?
Unless there's other discussion, I'd like to move approval of the calendar.
Is there any public comment on the item?
Can we get a second first? I'll second.
Okay, moved by Mr. Buckman, seconded by Mr. Millar. No public comment? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously.
My only question was, the bottom of page 4.7, the last paragraph discusses it. Is there in some other part of the Ed Code or in some other part of SELPA plan or something a definition and an authorization of this resolution council?
No, the resolution council is not through Ed Code. It's through a county consortium that all the district superintendents signed into. So they use this county agreement, interagency community agreement, that spells out within it a resolution council if there's conflicts between districts over whose responsibility it is to handle certain issues.
Okay. And the only reason this is probably the lawyer in me talking, I think maybe a reference in this AR for this item and probably for the next one too that just kind of lays that out might flesh out what this resolution council is a little bit more.
Okay.
But otherwise, I appreciate the changes that we discussed last time, and that's all I have. Oh, I do have one comment. The next, how did two guys named Ian end up on working on the?
We whenever we can communicate via email, we always sign the other Ian because two Ians in charge of this is pretty funny.
Yeah.
two neighboring districts.
Mr. Buckman.
Always looking for unique programs. I'm wondering whether, do you know whether this resolution council that Mr. Millar has highlighted, whether that's something that is statewide or is that something fairly unique to our community?
I don't know if it's replicated statewide. It's before I worked in San Luis Obispo, I was in Monterey County, and they did not have an identical committee such as this that brought social agencies, community agencies, and districts together. But it is a San Luis Obispo County agreement and has been in effect for since 2005, I believe 2005.
Okay. So where I'm sort of headed with this is there's a lot of conferences around the state that are looking for things that work well, and then the CSBA has a Golden Bell competition, and this may be something that would fit their category. So I'd like to suggest that we take a look at that, because if we're out front on this, it would be great.
Well, I'd definitely be willing to do the research and see if we are out front. It'd be nice to know.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed revisions as set forth regarding Board Policy 6173.
Second.
Okay, so moved by Mr. Spadafore and seconded by Mr. Millar. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thanks, Ian.
Mr. Trejo, you're still with us.
Yeah,
item number five.
I think I will be for a bit.
Approval of new board policy 6173.1.
Yes.
Instruction education for foster youth.
That's correct. Now, at the first reading of this, there were no points brought to my attention. We just decided to hold off on it to make sure the language between the two board policies mirrored each other, and the board requested to review the ARs on this as well. So if there's any feedback or comments.
Go ahead and do that.
I'll make a motion to approve the new board policy 6173.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mr. Beckman, a second by Mr. Angel. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. Mr. Trejo, hi again.
Well, hello, everyone.
Item six, approval of the application for the Education of Homeless Children and Youth Grant Program.
Okay. Now, item six, the application, if you look at the recommendation, we weren't asking for an approval tonight. This is a first reading. And it's been a bit of a tricky grant process because we're doing it as a collaborative effort with Lucia Mar School District. And the grant's been sort of passed back and forth a bit as far as the writing of it goes. I took a first draft from Lucia Mar, did almost a total rewrite on it, and then we've had lots of input from various committees. I do have to offer a bit of a mea culpa to the board. I was doing a bit of a celebratory dance for it being done when I probably should have done one more editing revision. So I did put on each person's station some edits that were pointed out that I should have picked up sooner, and maybe next time I'll save the dance for an extra hour after I read it one more time. The grant is through the McKinney-Vento law, which is a federal law governing the rules and regulations of homeless ideas as to how you would take this money and benefit the homeless students in the district. They did give sort of a list of various areas in which you could use the money. And so what Melissa Musgrave and I worked on a lot was condensing these ideas into sort of three components of what we wanted to address. The grant application puts a lot of emphasis on identifying homeless students. If you don't identify them, you can't help them get services, and there's a lot of confusion even in education about what it means to be homeless and what qualifies you. As we sort of explained at the last meeting when we were discussing the board policies, you don't necessarily have to be living on the street to be considered homeless. Well, there's also some reluctance for people to be identified as homeless, as you can imagine, especially if you have a roof over your head. So the first portion of the grant, which falls under Section A, the needs assessment, which is 6.5, that talks about what we've done for identifying students previously and then what we're hoping to do. McKinney-Vento Law advises, requests, mandates that we shift the identification process and intake process away from one homeless liaison onto the school sites. So the first portion of the funding is to funnel some money towards the training of the school site staff to be able to form proper intakes, to be aware of language to avoid and language to use when dealing with suspected homeless, to identify signs of homelessness when the families are communicating. There's some, you know, giveaway words, giveaway phrases, giveaway situations that might lead a properly trained secretary or counselor into suspecting homelessness and then therefore referring for services. I believe both LuCMR and San Luis have done a good job getting the word out about what homelessness is and how it, you don't just have to be on the street to be considered homeless, but we sort of need to take it up another notch as far as the training and awareness. And the grant asks for outside-the-box thinking, and they ask for awareness in a district, and it specifies literally from the bus drivers to the superintendent, all of whom know McKinney-Vento Law, know how to address homelessness. So there's a big piece of this grant is in the training in the training area. The another component is collaborative efforts, which is bringing community resources together as well as social services together. As the grant specifies, San Luis Obispo is a hub of all of the county social services. And the grant and McKinney-Vento Law asks for an interchange between those services and the districts.
Ian, I just wanted to interrupt you. When you were discussing previously training our staff to recognize and sensitively deal with homeless students, does the flow of referrals go the other way too? As the services who interact primarily in the county with homeless families, do they then refer to the schools?
They do.
Once they identify a student?
Yeah, they typically refer to the homeless liaison or directly to the school site through various collaboratives such as SAFE or just through, you know, quick phone calls, emails. The county, San Luis Obispo County, does deserve some applause for making a concerted effort to service and identify at-risk foster homeless students. Lost my train. I'm a bit of a rambler.
Sorry about
that. Once you derail me. The second component, so, is that bringing that community collaborative together, the collaboration with other school districts, and then finally the third component, which is really specified in Section B, program description, which is 6.10, 6.11, and 6.12 really get into the nitty-gritty of what we're hoping to do as far as collaboration and training of staff, local agencies, you know, increasing awareness community-wide and between the districts. And then finally, the third part is setting aside some portion of the funds to act as a sort of an emergency, what they call compensatory education. Some of you may have heard that term in regards to special ed. This is not that meaning. There's a lot of duplicity of terms in education, just to make sure we're all thoroughly confused. And in this case, it's more of a non-discrimination, non-segregation. So there's an assumption that homeless students will be without certain everyday provisions that most other students would have, such as backpacks, gym clothes. This portion of the grant can be set aside to have a supply of those. It also authorizes schools to have a supply of emergency funds, such as bus passes for families without transportation. Even you can buy gift cards or food cards for various grant money. It's substantially less than the grants paid in the past, so LuCMR and we need to run as low-cost and efficient program as we can. So it's $37,500 a year is our maximum benefit, and that, you know, is not a massive sum of money. So we want to be efficient target the money to where it's really needed and be diverse. So we're trying to hit on as many areas as we can. So despite my various typo guffaws, and if you notice, Lucy Marr, I do have some additional information. Here is their budget proposals in Section D. I strongly feel the spirit of the grant application is in the right place, and we're addressing the right needs. And once we finalize this draft into a full grant, I feel pretty strongly it'll be accepted, and then we can do some real good with it.
Okay, Mr. Buckman.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank the staff for spotlighting and highlighting this problem. I feel like we're still sort of sugarcoating this, so you did all this research, and I really want to just get these numbers out there. Almost every night in San Luis Obispo County, there's about 1,000 kids under these definitions that are homeless. It's a lot of children. San Luis Obispo, in our district, we have the highest number of identified homeless children, according to the data that you've provided, 260-something children. When we talk about the achievement gap, and that's our goal in this district, and that's what we're working towards, there's the achievement gap that comes with test scores and grades, and then there's the social achievement gap. So, again, I thank you for focusing on this. I think it's tremendous. The numbers that I ran, there's a 35% increase in the homeless children since 2007. That's in our district in San Luis Obispo, in our city, and on the coast. So I just can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this application.
Thank you. I do want to take your cue and point out that our current numbers, as best we can determine, are over 300 now, probably closer to 320 this year. And there are some projections that homelessness among students in districts statewide could increase as much as 50%. I don't know if we'll see that dramatic an increase here because of our fairly low population, but we do, as you read in the grant, have the highest cost of living index of a small city under 500,000 in the nation. So it's not an easy place to be without funds or to lay it off and find housing.
Dr. Eisendrath-Rogers.
I would just like to acknowledge the efforts of Melissa Musgrave, who, as you mentioned, is in the audience tonight, and she is our go-between between these parents. I'm off, sorry. Excuse me.
I'll start that again. I'd like to recognize the efforts of Melissa Musgrave, who is in the audience tonight and who is our go-between for parents and our district liaison. As far as I know, the only person doing the job in our district for all of these needy children and needy families. So thank you, Melissa, for what you do every day for our kids.
Mr. Spadafore.
Ian, thank you also for the information and the presentation. A couple of questions and then a comment. What percentage of the homeless children that are identified leave the school district relatively quickly, and how hard is it to track or to provide any continuation of services, even if it's within our geographic area? Is that a major problem in terms of the number turnover?
I don't have a specific percentage that leave very quickly, but it's not a small amount. And there is some confusion, even federally, statewide, as for the tracking, because legally we're obligated that if a student is reported as homeless in our district, we have to keep them on the books in our district for the entire year. And they may be at another district already. And so there is some duplicity in the numbers. There's some crossover, and it is difficult to track. County consortiums like we're doing here in San Luis do help because it keeps all the districts in contact with one another. So Melissa is often in the know of a student transferring in and out of another district before even the school site knows they're coming. So we're doing our best to keep track of it, but it's definitely an issue, and it's a difficult issue, especially if they leave the county and then come back. It's hard to know where they're at and if they've been properly identified by the school site they're now at. I can think of a couple cases just in the few months I've been here of a student who's been at two or three schools within our district within this school year, and there's you know, the school sites were still playing catch up with each other because it's happened so quickly.
But the issues, there's an awareness about it, and the communication is picking up.
I believe the awareness is there. It's just a tough problem to get around.
Yeah.
But general fund contributions, and perhaps this is a question for Mr. Miller. Is this one of those areas that we're going to feel pressure on in terms of the state budget and what we're going to be seeing with the loss of some of our categorical funding?
More than likely, but the federal funding for Title I and the other aspects of what we've got to look at in 09-10 is going to answer that question better than we can do tonight. The homeless issues is a special ed problem, which ends up becoming a general fund problem because of the encroachment of the general ed program.
Yes, in response to Mr. Spadafore's question, we're very lucky in our school district to have our information services department tuned into the CSIS system. All of our students have identification numbers. And in my work with inter-district transfers within our county, what we've come to realize is those numbers that are given to our students are statewide numbers, and we're able to track them to the previous district for which they attended. So I want to thank the efforts of Information Services for being upfront with this, and we're being able to track students much more carefully to get the right kind of services and to get their background in place.
Am I there? Okay, Mr. Trejo. Thank you very much for your efforts in writing this.
You're welcome.
Grant application.
It was my pleasure to do so.
I'm very appreciative, and I understand that it was a first draft,
yes,
and there was a little housekeeping to be done, but the spirit was there, and the work was evident, and I'm very appreciative. I just wanted to note, because no one else did, and because it is so shocking, that in the application it says SLCUSD has identified 268 homeless students in the 07-08 school year, which was a 50% increase from the previous year. And so I believe, given the economic uncertainties of the times that we're in, that we are going to see a much higher incident over the next few years, certainly, and this $37,500, if we receive it, is helpful. But I think that as a board, we'll be needing to look at perhaps other ways that we can find some source of funding to address this problem, because it is definitely a very real problem that affects children every day. And will continue to and will affect more as time goes on. So thank you again for your efforts.
You're welcome.
I'll move approval. Let's see, is this the first action discussion? Okay. This is the second reading of the revisions to the board policies, and we approve those? Okay. Then we're moving to item 7. Board self-evaluation, setting the date and discussion topics.
Madam Chair, if I could launch this item. The board's undertaking the task tonight to select a date for a board self-evaluation. The board asked staff to look at possible weekend dates so there could be some extended time for that task. And based on board schedules, it appeared that Sunday would probably be the best day of the week to look at least initially. The board's responses regarding the availability of individuals on a variety of Sundays between now and May shows no single Sunday in which every one of us is available. I would change one. If you look at Sunday, March 8th, and I share this in a sort of qualified kind of way. The only one who couldn't be available on March 8th, which is this Sunday, was me. And the fact of the matter is that I could attend on March 8th if you wanted to do it then. I'm out of district on Thursday and Friday, moving our daughter to San Diego. Saturday is the Teach Telethon, and Sunday is a potential day. I thought it was a little bit of a jam to prepare in that amount of time, but if it were the board's wish to do so, it's certainly an available date.
You know, I was just going to add, I'm not available on the 8th, and I think it would be moot anyway, because to prepare now being the 3rd for the 8th probably is physically, emotionally, intellectually impossible. So you can attend.
If you can buy the fries.
Or the rings.
And I want to know why the men were taking Mother's Day off. I don't understand that concept, but that's something else.
So then...
I'm suggesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Want me to put this in the form of a motion? Or do we want to just do consensus? What I'm suggesting is, since I'm the pink square on May 3rd, I'd like to make that green somehow. So if we could make it half green, and if the board feels that's enough time, then I would make that trip down.
What time do you think we would start then to accommodate your schedule?
Probably about 3:30.
Four.
How long does it take?
All night.
Bring your pillow.
Well, you know, I would be comfortable with starting at 4. It's later than you normally would, but I think that may be the only day we're all going to be together without starting this process all over again. So I would be fine with May 3rd.
Okay, so everyone's good for Sunday, May 3rd, with a 4 p.m. start time?
Where and dinner? Where and are we having dinner?
Bring it in. We were talking about doing it at one of the school facilities.
Oh, okay.
So we can do more of a working. But, you know, that's up for discussion also. Have it catered or something, have food brought in. Mark will pick everything up at In-N-Out Burger, and he'll do the family pack.
I could stop and pass on culinary arts.
Dr. Valentine, no comment. Well, then, if we're in agreement, does this require a motion or just direction to staff that we'll set up?
Yeah, not hearing an opposition, we'll just do it.
Okay, so we'll set up then for board self-evaluation workshop on Sunday, the 3rd of May at 4 p.m. at a site to be determined?
Correct.
Well said.
One of the suggestions in terms of decisions to be made about the self-evaluation was whether the board wanted us to seek a facilitator for the process or not. And Mr. Millar had suggested that perhaps the discussion be centered around the CSBA recommended standards and self-evaluation practices. And
which are located in the back of your binder.
They are. And anyway, and we'll take direction. And again, there's some time between now and May if people want to, you know, add a different kind of look to the meeting.
Mr. Buckman.
Picking up on Mr. Millar's suggestion, CSBA does have a governance team that will come out and work with districts. And I attended several sessions at the CSBA conference, and they were tremendous. So I would throw that on the table.
Okay.
Sounds like overkill.
I was going to say, at the risk of being self-serving, I would support that as well.
Tell us more about this team. How many? What do they do? Do they wear uniforms?
Perhaps we could get information back from CSBA about what that would look like.
Why don't we talk about whether or not we want a team facilitating us? Then we can just, based on that discussion, we can figure out whether we need more CSBA information.
I'm sorry. There is a team, but this is a single-player sport. So what they do is they usually send one person. So it's similar to what we have, except it's somebody from CSBA.
Mr. Spadafore.
I was thinking maybe at our next board meeting we could identify the areas that the board members have to be covered or to possibly be discussed at the self-evaluation. And that may give us a better idea of the scope and the nature and the depth and what type of support we may need to see how far flung it is or how specific it is.
I think that's very well stated. We don't want to have to be too thorough this evening.
we've got a date and a time and a location, stop while we're ahead and bring it back at the next meeting for further discussion and perhaps a decision on facilitation. Okay. Moving on to the action consent agenda, please let me know if you'd like any of these items pulled. Item 8, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item 9, acceptance of donations. Item 10, disposition of surplus property. 11, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 12, approval of purchase orders. 13, approval of warrants and payroll. 14, action on a claim against the district, Kina and John Zorovich, parents of Marcus Zorovich, a minor.
I would make a motion to approve 8 through 14.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Spadafore, seconded by Mr. Unger. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Advance agenda. Seeing nothing for the advance agenda.
I'll move them for adjournment then.
Yeah. Okay, we are now adjourned.
Record-setting meeting. All right.